ways lead to destinations. And then and that included the tithes. And that included, after the tithes, the offerings. I'm not even going to talk about the offerings. I'm going to talk about the tithes, and then maybe the offerings are for another day. But the offerings were extravagant and awesome, and they were above the tithe. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to break down the tithe, because many of you in this room probably are under the impression that tithe means 10% of your money to the church. Okay, cool. Let me just break that down. In Jewish tradition and in Jewish culture, there are and still are four, well, three plus another thing. So I could just say four tithes that Jewish people follow. Okay, now, by the way, you should listen to this. Yes, I just shut on you. You should, but you should. Because there's a way that you should walk in. And God wants to teach you that way. You should listen to this. Now, one of the reasons you should listen to this is because I'm about to say something that's true of a particular nation that's still true to today. That nation is the Jewish nation, nation of Israel. They make up 1% of the world population. Everyone say 1%. They own 30% of its wealth. I just want you to think about that for a second. 1% of the world's population are in charge of 30% of its wealth. Okay, just if you just take that alone, let's just take get right out of scriptural arguments and theological conversations. Let's just go into practical, like you will know them by their fruit. 1% of the world's population in charge of 30% of its wealth. Okay, you just need to ask the question, what are they doing? They got some things. Okay, so let me just share one of the things. So they had the four tithes. Let me talk about them. The first one was the terumah. The terumah was the first fruits offering. And that was between 1/40th and 1/60th of your yearly income given to the high priest or the priest that was the person that was your personal priest back in Levitical days. And you would give that to them. That they would literally lift your, there's a whole bunch of stuff around this and a whole bunch of rabbit trails to not go down for me, but they would lift up your offering, your first fruits offering, and they would bless it, and they would bless the rest of your crop in the day most of the time, and then they would receive it, and that would provide for the priest. That would be the priest's income. So it was between 1/40th and 1/60th. By the way, if you were bantering around 1/40th or 1/60th, man, maybe we should give 1/60th because we're a bit skint this year. That was where bad eye came from. That exactly right there is where the bad eye came from. If you're weighing it between 1/60th, 1/40th, oh my gosh, mate, listen, just open your eyes. Just give 1/40th. That is precisely where the term came from right there. Yep. So we've got the terumah. So in our case, it would be something that you would give to someone like an Andy or someone who was your kind of spiritual oversight, like a spiritual dad or someone like that in your life. Again, we're being led by his eye, so it's not so stringent, but God wants us to get the spirit behind the thing that he was trying to communicate with the bit and the bridle. There's a thing behind the thing here. If you can not get offended by the thing and get into the thing behind the thing, it'll do you really well. The second one was they call it the sacred tithe or the Levitical tithe, or in Hebrew, I think it's called the Masa Roshan. And that was 10% of your yearly income or your however frequently you receive your income. 10% of your income after the terumah, 10% of your income to the local spiritual community that you're a part of or the temple in those days, and nowadays it's the local spiritual community that you're a part of, and 10% to that for the purpose of that thing being able to be to happen. Okay. Second one was, now this is what's so cool, is that it doesn't stop there. The whole concept of the tithe doesn't stop there. It carries on. The second one is, this is a cool one. The second one, oh, sorry, the third after the teruma, then the first tithe, now the second tithe, or third tithe if you count the teruma as a tithe, is, this is cool. This is called the feast tithe. The feast tithe. Now, you should all have one of these. I know I just shit on you again, but you should have one of these. This is just awesome. It's just good. This is a tithe to yourself. This is a tithe to yourself. Like God is set up, and the way that he was imparting to a nation and how to deal with finances, he's like, here's a savings plan. And here was the thing. There were all these feasts that Israel put on, and God didn't want his people to go to those feasts with like, man, we can't afford anything. We can't pay for anything. We can't even have fun. We can't even afford a hotel. We can't afford food. We've got to fast for the week. You know, he wanted the people to be able to go to the feast and just go hard, just have an absolute extravagant time of celebration. And so he said, have a feast fund. And that was 10% of your income, yearly or monthly or weekly, however much you received your income, to go into a fund that would, they're basically like a holiday fund. Basically like a go and just take some time out of your week, take some time out of your year, go have a party somewhere and celebrate the goodness of God and have some money to do it. That's awesome. Come on, man. Someone say that's awesome. That is awesome. I think that's the Masa. I think it's a Shine. I might have got those terms wrong though, but I think that's what it's called in Hebrew. And then the last one is the Masa Ani. And what that is that's the third tithe, and that's this. That's a tithe to the poor. And that was to go into an account that the temple, that the spiritual community governed that account. It went into an account, and it was for the purpose of looking after foreigners, orphans, widows, poor people, for if there were natural disasters, hosting people that would come and visit. It was an account that was set aside for that, and it was 10%. It was every third Masa Shine, every third tithe to the every third feast tithe. You wouldn't give it to the feast account. You would give it to the account for the poor. Now, why is this important? This is important because there's a thing behind a thing. This is important because for a start, I think that the ways in the Old Testament that lead to a blessing aren't erased in the New Testament. Like I said, God erased the curses in Christ, but he didn't erase the blessings. Now, you're allowed to feel differently about that to me, but that just to me makes sense. Now, if you don't follow the ways that lead to a blessing, does that mean you're cursed? No, but it does maybe mean that you're not blessed. What's the difference between being not blessed and cursed? Well, here's the difference. Cursed is something is working against you. Blessed is something is really working for you. Not blessed is neither. Not blessed is there's nothing working against me, but there's not something really working for me. Now, here's the thing. You're not cursed, but you could be more blessed. That should encourage some people in this room. You're not cursed. It's not like there's something working against you, but yeah, you could be more blessed. The more you align with his ways, the more you end up in his destinations. The more you align with his ways, the bigger the space he takes up in your life, the more he occupies. And whatever area in your life you submit to his ways, that's an area that gets baptized in his culture and goodness and blessing. Ways lead to blessing. That is true in the Old Testament, but guys, that is absolutely still true in the New Testament. The ways of God don't get erased in the New Testament. They're still here. God still expects us to live with wisdom and alignment with his ways. This also describes four things that are very much so on the heart of God in terms of places that God has designed to be financially supported by the community. Yes? Financially supported by the community. And this is still true in the New Testament. Thanks, man. Not right now, though. There's the spiritual leadership. God wants them to be supported. Now, I know I'm a spiritual leader. I'm not asking for your money, but I'm just saying this is there. The house of God, the spiritual community that you're a part of. Yourself. He wants you to be able to enjoy life. It's not all about others. He also wants you to receive for you. He wants you to have a way of actually celebrating and enjoying life and having a holiday. And then the third thing is he has a heart for the poor. And part of our responsibility is to actually give financially in a way that fulfills God's heart towards the poor. Okay? As I said, okay, let me, out of time. Sorry, it was going to be a miracle if I finished on time, to be honest, but let me just read Psalm 32 again to you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Not the way I will make you go, but it is the way you should go. Why would God say that? It's because of this. There is a place he wants you to be that is the best place for you to be. And there is a way to get there. That's why you should go that way. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Obviously, that only works if you're looking at him. I will guide you with my eye. And if you're not looking at him, this is what it looks like. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near. Now, God won't go back to the bit and bridle. And thank you, like Galatians, we're not going back to the Old Testament. We're not going back to the bit and bridle. We're not going back to all the law that was in place because of a lack of relationship, because we weren't looking at his face, we weren't seeing his eye. The answer is not to go back to that. It's not to go back to you must give this, otherwise you're a bad person, you're excommunicated from the community and you're not part of this group of people if you don't follow the tithe regime. It's not that, the tithe system, I should say. It's not that. But it is this. I don't want to lead you with a bit and a bridle. Because there's a higher way and the new covenant is a greater glory. I want to lead you with the gaze of my eye, but the gaze of my eye is going to lead you in the spirit of the same way. Because the ways of old that lead to blessing are still the same ways in the new that lead to blessing. But there's a different motivation. We're now led by the motivation of worship and relationship with God, not exterior rules that we're going to get punished if we don't do something. You're not going to get punished if you don't do something. The curse is broken in Christ. Man, that's the blessing. The curse is broken, but the blessings remain along with their ways. So I wanted to share some of the bit and bridle ways. And I wanted to just share some of those thoughts. I've run out of time. There's more I wanted to say, but I think I can leave that with you. And I think what I'd like to do is just get the band up just quickly. Thanks, guys. And you, that second song. Yeah, that second song, the thank you song. We're going to sing this song, but here's what I want you to do, guys. I just want you to stand up with me right now. By the way, you know, just so you know, no one's going to stone you if you disagree with me, and I expect you to not stone me if you disagree with me. And but I think that that's something that we need to be able to talk about clearly and just, to be honest, sometimes just call a spade a spade. So I want to pray for you. And this is the space right now where, hey, if you feel a bit and a bridle in your mouth right now, I just don't want you to feel that. But this is the space right now where you get to say no to that feeling. You get to look at Him. And here's the thing. We're not leading our own lives. He's leading us. He's leading each of us. And this is so cool that we get to be led by the Creator of the whole universe, who understands every single way and intricacy that leads to the blessing. He wants you blessed, and He wants you blessed also financially. Money's not evil. Some of the ways we deal with money are evil, but money's not evil. So I just want you to close your eyes right now, and I want to pray specifically into this. Lord, thank You, God, so much that You have a way. God, that there is a path and there is a way and there is a destination, God, that You're leading us to experience the full blessing of heaven in our finances. And Lord, I ask You to shine light on that way. I ask that we wouldn't need the bit and the bridle, God, but God, we look to Your eyes. And Lord, I just declare that everyone in this room would be so sensitive to the leading of Your Spirit, God. So, Lord, I declare a sensitization to the leading of Your Spirit, God, that our hearts would actually pop into alignment with Yours. God, I when you do a heart transplant, this is what they do, guys, is they actually take the old heart and the new heart, and to get the new heart that they're putting in the body into the same rhythm as the old heart, they connect the hearts together and it jumps the heart immediately into the same heartbeat. And Lord, I just declare, Lord, that You would take Your heart and actually connect it with our hearts to the point where it jumps into the same rhythm, even including our finances, Lord. Even including our finances. So when you put your hand on your heart right now, guys, I just want to ask you to ask the Lord this question. Even if you don't want to do it, I just want to ask you to do it. I just want you to ask Him this question. Lord, are there any adjustments that You think I should make with my finances? Now, this is not anything to do with any form of manipulation. It's just an opportunity for God to speak to you about a way that might be better for you concerning your finances. Why would He do that? Because He wants you blessed. He doesn't have a selfish agenda. He wants you blessed. I'll just take a moment to listen. And if you hear something just in your heart, just thank the Lord. Wherever He reveals a way, it leads to a destination, and that destination is to bless you. So you can be thankful. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Some of you might have just heard something that might feel like shivers. That feels a bit scary. Okay. I acknowledge that, and so does the Lord. Just invite Him into that fear right now. Just invite Him into that fear and just ask Him to give you His courage and to help you and give you grace to trust in the process of learning the blessing. Lord, we just turn our hearts to You and we say, Lord, not our ways, but Your ways, until Your ways become our ways. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I just want to say just one more thing and we're going to finish in a second. Really, honestly, in like 1 minute. But we just made a point of doing this at every service, and I haven't really talked about anything other than money and the fact that God is good. But I want to say to everyone in the room that God is good, and He's here, and He loves you, and He has a plan for your life, and He doesn't want you to live life like you're on your own. He wants you to live life with Him. And if you're in this room and you don't know Him, you could all just close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus right now, if you don't know God And maybe everyone in the room does, but if you're here and you don't, I just want to give you an opportunity to say, Lord, I actually want to know you. I want to follow you. I don't want to be my own leader anymore. I want you to be my leader because I just think you'd do a better job. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand in the air right now. If that's you, just lift your hand in the air. Awesome. Okay, we're going to finish with the song. And again, just an opportunity for you to just stand or sit or kneel before the Lord and just for God to speak to you, particularly around your finances. If you need a financial breakthrough, if you're at the bottom of the cliff, you know, if you're at the bottom of the cliff and you're like, shivers, man, I wish I'd knew this at the top of the cliff, but I'm at the bottom now and I need a miracle. If you're at the bottom of the cliff, then I want to invite you to, I'm going to be up here and a couple of others will be up here just to pray for actually like an actual financial miracle over your life. An actual supernatural financial miracle in your life. So if that's you while we're singing this song, then just come up the front and we'd love to pray for you. Awesome. And with that, we're going to finish today's service, but we're going to finish with a song.